The following program, The Role Playing Our European Swedish Nurse Bathtime Adventure, is intended as cartoonish satire and does not necessarily reflect the personal opinions of the author or of the majority of the actors saying the lines. Even if it's one guy clearly doing all the voices and he wrote the thing too. This podcast contains adult language and concepts and bongs. Tune out if you're likely to be offended. Look at that, Roland. That ad on that clothing store.
What's so special about it?
It's a guy, late middle-aged. His face is weathered and wrinkled. He has a nice head of hair. He's on a mountain somewhere. There are pines. It's photographed in black and white. They want you to buy the shirt and jacket he's wearing.
So?
It's magnificent! I want to be that guy! They usually advertise men's clothing with young, pretty boys or slightly older, pretty boys. That never worked on me. I was always like, I'm not those people and I would never be those people, and so their clothes have no place within my reality. But this.
You'll never be this guy either.
Maybe. I could be. Look how wizened yet determined he is.
You're middle-aged and you're not half as wrinkly. Plus that bloke has hair. You haven't got much of that them hair there's what's on your head and that.
I could wear a wig. But you're right, I just need to get weathered, like the face of a mountain. I haven't spent enough time out of doors in my lily-white skin. Oh, why can't I be that guy? The stories he must be able to tell. The story behind each wrinkle. That steely, proud glare. He's gonna chop some wood today, you just know it. Maybe if I buy his shirt and jacket, I can be like him.
There is something fatherly about him, isn't there?
Yes. Maybe that's it. He's made to be admired. He's staunch. But there's a warmth there in his rugged features.
I too am a father. He taught me responsibility, like him.
What are your kids' names again?
I have no idea. Haven't seen him in donkeys.
I suppose he's not middle-aged, is he? He must be in his 50s. When I was younger, I always imagined middle-aged people look like this guy. But now I'm in my mid to late 30s along with everyone else I know, and we all just look sort of faded and plump.
You say he looks fatherly and you think he's your dad.
He's like an ideal dad.
So you want to be like him so you can bang your mum?
No, look at that face, confidence. He's going out to get more from life.
Did he fuck your mum?
No, Roland.
Women like confident men, though, you know.
Of course they do. Most men come seeking sympathy or attention from women. Oh, no one likes me. Give me a shoulder to cry on. Oh, does this girl like me? Let me tell you all about her so you can tell me what you think about me and my problems. Oh, read my novel or listen to me play guitar and tell me that I'm great. Men are always demanding so much from women's time and attention. Women must be so sick of that. What a relief it would be just to see a confident guy who doesn't ask for anything from you.
Hooking up isn't about confidence or lack of confidence, man. It's about pheromones. How people smell.
My pheromones are not very effective.
That's because you have despairamones. Everyone can tell the eureka despair and desperation, so they run away.
Yes, despairamones. Like what most teenage boys smell of.
He's a bit like Batman or something, isn't he? That old guy, but like old Batman.
Ah, you mean Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Is that a different kind of Batman?
That is Frank Miller's old Batman fighting in the post-apocalyptic future of pseudo-New York in the 80s. The storyline depicted in his graphic novels exists in a possible future that may or may not come to pass. It's not a part of regular continuity, but yes, the man in that ad is a little like Dark Knight Returns Batman, just less square.
Wait, so possible future? So does he count or not? Is it a real Batman story or not? I don't get it.
You decide for yourself, Roland. They call it head canon, as in the canonical books of the Bible versus the Apocrypha. You decide on a personal level which stories from 75 years of Batman history count as true and which don't, because some were pretty wacky.
Headcanon.
Yes. Headcanon is interesting. For example, for me, out of all the Emmanuel movies, only Emmanuel's 1, 4, 7 and Emmanuel in Space count. That is my headcanon.
Well, those are the best examples of the 70s French softcore porn series and genre.
Yes, whatever they do in terms of sequels with Emmanuel, one movie is good, then two are bad, one is good, then two more are bad. Everyone knows that.
Everyone does know that. It's the same every time.
It is. The rule is you leapfrog two Emmanuels.
You leapfrog two Emmanuels, but didn't they have like all those knockoff Emmanuels because the series was so popular? Like in other countries, they change the spelling slightly or give it a slightly different name and release it as if it were an Emmanuel movie.
Yes, Roland, there are many examples. He-Manuel, One Prince Adam's journey to discover the erotic power of Grayskull, despite his cold wife Skeletor's lack of affection.
He-Manuel.
E-M-U-L, in a galaxy far, far away, one droid's erotic journey to Tosh Station to discover the power converters that will increase the net yield of her moisture farm.
Didn't see that one. Sounds bonza.
Emma.net URL. One woman's erotic journey squatting on a potentially popular web address until she gets the satisfaction she needs.
That sounds like it probably is some woman's actual website.
Emma Noel. One woman's erotic journey to get the present from Father Christmas she's always wanted.
See what's in Emmanuel's stocking.
Emmanuel. One Hispanic guy's erotic journey of asking whether his friend is all right.
I hope he was well.
Emmanuel. One woman's erotic journey reading her workplace's email and internet usage regulations.
That's... I'll probably give that one a miss.
Emmanuel. One woman's erotic journey getting upset at the waiter from Faulty Towers.
Now they're just getting silly.
Imen Mugabe UL, one woman's erotic journey, ethnic cleansing Zimbabwe's dissidents.
Righto, DM, I get the idea.
Whew, got myself all hot under the collar, thinking of all those knockoffs of 70s French softcore porn movies. All that completely unconvincing sex as women pretend to lick other women's navels, apparently, by moving their heads in circles. Ah, I've got to cool myself off or I won't be in any position to be out here in public.
Think of something innocent, DM.
Okay, what?
I don't know, like a nursery rhyme.
Okay. Hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle.
Filthy!
Oh, sorry, Roland.
Oh, I should say so, I've never heard such.
I just focus on my ideal self over there across the road. Benefactor to all mankind. The stony-faced, weathered, ideal man there.
The shadows on his chiseled wrinkliness. So defined.
Wabi-sabi. Wabi-sabi. Roland, the Japanese have a term, wabi-sabi.
That green shit what makes you spit all your sushi out because your tongue's on fire?
No, wabi-sabi means it's like a whole method of measuring beauty based on the fact the world is transient and imperfect. It reminds you that nothing is ever complete. Nothing ever lasts. And it's more beautiful for being so. The paint peeling on the faded boards of a shack at the beach. An ancient cliffside, the rock gouged by centuries of rain, its perfect roughness, transcendent asymmetry.
Like how I like me cone piece more for being covered in scratches and burn marks because it reminds me of all the times I scraped the resin out of it and had a really brutal res sesh.
Yes, Roland, all that noble use, all those memories. Something can be more appealing, more moving, and touch the soul more profoundly for having a crack or a chip.
Well, I often smoke crack and then eat chips, so I must be fucking Naomi McPherson.
You're not the Naomi McPherson of Wabi Sabi, Roland. There is no elegance to your decay. You're all ulcers and pimples and dry yellowing skin and droopy black skull hole pits around the eyes. There is no elegance in my decay either. My decrepitude tells no story. It doesn't move the soul, it just appalls. Well, technically, I suppose it moves souls away from me as fast as they can run, but no, we are run-of-the-mill, wasting, aging, and decay. But him, this guy, pure, gorgeous, wabi-sabi.
He is the one who's more like Naomi McFercile.
Yes. Let us gaze upon him and commune with the ever-changing universe.
Yeah. I kind of want his jacket now, too.
Yeah, it looks... I mean, and it's on sale.
We'd be fools not to buy it.
We'll miss out if we don't. I mean, specials end tomorrow.
Then we could look like Nell McCannonball.
This is Robert O'Reilly, and I hate the role-playing hour. I wish their BO and inconsistent hygiene would be banished from this world and into the halls of Stovokar! Oh, go suck the big one.
Look a bit like Eldwood McFurlong in this light with me bangs, don't you think?
That guy looks like he's so far beyond all the petty things that drag regular men down, doesn't he?
Yeah, I bet he never texts dick pics to girls and that. And I bet he never tweets dick pics to girls and boys and all the followers on his Twitter account. And I bet he never smears dick pics to girls on the glass door of their patios at night with their actual dick, and a gecko runs over it and it tickles.
Never understood the dick pic thing. You'd have to be so confident in the other person wanting to see your dick. I mean, my dick is my dick, whatever, I work with what I got, but I'm not confident that any other person wants to see my dick. And to single mine out from all the dicks in the world no one wants to see and then put that on display like a Fabergé egg, no. Even I don't want to look at it. Take a photo of it. Most people who like dudes don't like looking at dicks much, so why do so many guys send dick pics, apparently? Is it because all they can think is that a pussy pic would be the best possible gift anyone could give them? So they're trying to premeditatively reciprocate the only way they know how? Well, if I want to see that bit, they must want to see this bit.
No, I think it's just a power thing. Like rape.
Huh.
Yeah, like demean someone. I have power over you. I made you look at my dick. My dick is in your eye holes. It's all you're good for.
Well, that's not very nice. And again, still, I believe they are severely overestimating the impact of someone seeing their dick.
Eh.
You wanted to disempower and disenfranchise me with that? Maybe if it was another 4 inches, I'd text back.
Eh.
You actually just tweeted me the secret plans to your proverbial Death Star exhaust port, your weakened tender spot, your deepest vulnerability, and from where I'm standing, it looks pretty vulnerable.
Eh.
Well, those silly pieces of meat people think other people want to see.
That gecko is not even afraid of your dick. Why should I be? Eh. Gecko wasn't afraid. Just went on by, going about his evening. Tickled. I mean, we're saying this is bloke, so aren't we? Different if you're a Sheila. Do you ever wonder what you'd be like as a lady?
Just as lonely, I expect.
But like, if you were a lady and you could, like, date any bloke in the world, who do you think you'd pick? Because I sometimes wonder. Oh, sometimes wonder if I'd date Angry Anderson. And I think, yes, I would definitely date Angry Anderson. And then I remember he's me dad, so I can't date him.
Ooh, tough one, tough one. I think I'd date well. I love the films of David Lynch. He's such a great artist. I'd love to date him.
Be a good boyfriend, would he? Caring. Reliable.
Come to think of it, I've seen him in interviews. Maybe dating David Lynch wouldn't be such a good idea.
David, did you pay the gas bill this month?
Well, the thing is, see, but a gas bill, that starts with an idea. Someone has an idea for a gas bill. And an idea, well, it's like a fish. And it's swimming deep down there. You know it's there. And gosh golly, you gotta catch that fish. You know? And sometimes you do. And sometimes you don't. for when you get a really good idea.
So, the gas bill is like a fish.
The idea for the gas bill.
And when this fish turned into an actual gas bill and got dropped through our letterbox, did you pay it?
Money. Money is based on ideas.
David! David! Did you sleep with my sister?
Well, you see, infidelity is an idea. An idea comes, and you see it, and you hear it, and you know it.
What do you mean? How does it come?
It comes like on a TV, in your mind.
What? So, did you fuck my sister?
People, we don't do anything without an idea. So they're beautiful gifts. And I always say, you desiring an idea is like bait on a hook.
Oh, the fish again?
You can reel them in if you catch an idea that you love. That's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, God, you did. Oh, you did. You did. You fucked my only sister on the bed we shared. How could you? You absolute... Oh, how could you be so selfish? And throw away everything we've built together. Ignore every sacrifice I've made for you.
Transcendental meditation will help you catch an idea. I have used transcendental meditation for several decades under the guidance of my yogi. Today, while transcendentally meditating, I focused on a transcendentally sexy idea of fucking your sister, gosh golly, which was like a fish. The idea, not your sister.
Oh, David, why?
Sometimes an idea is just a fragment, and you can use that idea as bait. That fish you caught is just a small fish, but you can use that, put it on your hook, and more fish come in, and they hook on. And more come in, and pretty soon you have a script, or a chair, or a painting, or an idea for a painting, or an erotic combination of human beings writhing on a bed, or something else entirely.
Oh God, what are you saying, more fish? Hello, honey. Oh, my hair is so messed up today. Mum, you too? David, how many fish are we talking? Did you ever know what you and my entire family? David, please, the rent's due. All the kids need new clothes, the fridge is empty. You know I don't bother you. I know you have a glamorous lifestyle and a stay away! I don't often stop by, but if you don't pay child support, me and all your children are going to be out in the street. Tell me you didn't spend all the child support money again on cigarettes and meat to glue to your paintings.
Well, gee whiz, honey. You know, in the other room, the puzzle is all together.
Oh God, please don't start going on about ideas again. Just give me a straight answer about something for once in your life!
The puzzle is all together, but from that room, they keep flipping in just one piece at a time, and they're all fragments.
Don't say it.
Just fragments of the puzzle.
No.
Which is itself the fragment of an idea. Ideas are the number one best thing going, and ideas...
We're all homeless, that's it, all your kids... They can't go to school, I can't feed them. Hope you're happy with your erotic photography and your beautiful actresses and your furniture and your heavy metal band and your button-up shirts and your Eagle Scout merit badges and your rotting meat paintings fingered down by ants and your short films and your backwards talking dwarf. I hope they can cover up that great big hole in your conscience.
And gosh golly, ideas come to us. We don't really create an idea. We just catch them, like fish. No chef ever takes credit for making the fish. It's just preparing the fish. So you get an idea, and it is like a seed fish. And in your mind, the idea is seen and felt.
I'm going!
And it explodes, and it's got electricity and light connected to it, the seed fish, and it has all the images and the feeling, and it's like, in an instant, you know the idea. In an instant. Then the thing is translating that.
So maybe I'd just be an old cat lady. David Lynch is a bit wabi-sabi though these days.
David Lynch is very wabi-sabi. He has a cool, weathered face full of character. Is that red, spiky white hair? Wish I looked like David Lynch.
He's almost as wabi-sabi as this guy in this clothing store ad.
Almost. Perhaps it is a movie thing. Everyone in old movies was wabi-sabi, right? Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah. Humphrey Bogart.
Cary Grant.
Yeah. Cary Grant.
Everyone else in old movies.
Yeah, everyone else. It was the hairlines, I think. Very wabi-sabi.
I bet this guy in the clothing store ad, I bet he goes on work trips.
Bet he does.
But I'd love to go on a work trip. I'd have a briefcase and a hat with a hat band. And I'd turn up in the hotel lobby and I'd take the pipe out of my mouth. Hello, I'm here on a work trip, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'd go to my room and lay the briefcase on my bed. I'd click it open. And the only things inside would be documents and a shoehorn.
Yeah, work trips would be great.
I'd test out the firmness of my bed by laying on it in my leather shoes. And I'd sit by the hotel pool in a vest and suspenders with an ice bucket beside me. I'd be drenched in sweat, one leather-shoed foot and sock with suspenders, crossed over another leather-shoed foot and sock with suspenders. People would pass by from the pool, dripping. My hair would be perfectly waxed. My shoes would gleam. And I'd be utterly happy. I'd drink a lemonade with ice cubes. There'd be more beads of sweat on my face than drops of condensation on the glass.
Work trip.
When I go to bed, I'd first open and close my briefcase to check my documents and my shoehorn, and then I'd put my jacket and my hat on a stand, lay on the bed fully dressed, and switch off the lights.
Paradise.
The next morning, I'd wake up, check my shoehorn and my documents, and for breakfast, I'd drink a tiny bottle of alcohol from the minibar. But I'd savor it, you know? I drink it slow and casual as I leaned on the balcony and looked out at the unfamiliar city. I wouldn't be able to see much of it from my hotel, of course. And then I'd go and, like, meet other like-minded people at a convention for those who sell brushes or something.
Airbrushes? Toilet brushes?
Nothing so specific. All-purpose brushes, like a twisted piece of wire with bristles on the end. Any brush that looked like that. That's what I'd sell. And I'd go to collect the latest news on my work trip. Keep my ear to the ground. Swap stories with others from the field, from the biz. Bosses working me like a dog, I'd say, and I'd just, oh, there'd be sweat stains all down my back. My underarms would be just big, wet sweat bogs. And my documents, oh, I'd show them to the one other person they were intended for. I'd show him, and him alone, next year's samples. And then, back to the hotel for the 5 a.m. flight the next day. I'd smoke my pipe in the taxi. And life would be perfect. At the end of the day, I'd loosen my tie and have one more tiny bottle from the minibar.
Sleep in your shoes again.
Sleep in my shoes again. One shoe would have a circular pit in the sole, and the sole would have no tread of any kind. Nothing more manly than the work trip.
Nope.
This is Lance Jackson. I hate the role-playing hour because they mostly come out at night. Mostly.
You know what the man in that picture is? Do you know?
No. What?
He's avuncular.
He is avuncular. He is the most avuncular. Do you ever wish you were avuncular like him?
Of course, but I'm the opposite of avuncular. I'm devunculated.
You've been evuncusized. You know, if you worked out, you'd probably be more manly.
I don't know about that, Roland. Do you remember my workout video?
Okay, gang, so here we are today, and we're gonna do a full body workout. Are you with me? Good. So, start with warm-ups. We don't need warm-ups. Not for the DM workout. Let's get straight to the action. Okay, so first we want to work out on our lats. So we do a basic lat crunch and...
Oh, God. Ow. Jesus. That... Oh. No. Okay, I should have... Ooh, I should have warmed up. Okay, let's take a step back a little and... I'll try to warm up, okay. Warm-ups are important, guys, so... So to warm up, we just do some light swings. Some light swings, yeah, with our delts. Okay, so, like so. Oh, God! I just... Give me a minute. I... Yeah, that's just the first 5 minutes. That'll go away if we warm up for long enough. The body's natural endorphins will compensate and just to swing a little bit. Okay, so I took a short break with some deep heat and an ice pack, and I'm back. We're all warmed up, yeah. Now we're going to extend our quads and our 4x4s. You ready, gang? Great, you ready? Okay, and here we go. We lunge into it. We lunge into it. We lunge into it. And then we lunge back. Let's just do those lunges with a little less depth. Okay. And we lunge this way, and we... Why does this have to happen? It's not fair.
Take this pain away from me, God. I cannot bear it.
How did my quad lunge offend thee? How did I... Okay, so for today, we're going to do some lighter exercise. You have to ease into it, right? You don't want to start by running a marathon. You start by taking the first step. We're going to build up the muscles in our body slowly, one by one, until we're ready for more vigorous exertions. And we're going to start by blinking. Now you blink. You blink. You blink.
Blinking cramp.
Cramp in my blinker. My eyelid.
Ow! What even are these noises coming out of me?
I've heard the cries of pigs being butchered. And yet this sound coming out of my body, it's like, who is that? I don't even know who I am. But the pain is... The pain is... Someone! So my eyelids shut! I can't bear it! Blinking is too much effort! I'm already exhausted! And now for some nard squats. Today we're gonna try some core strengthening scissor twists. You ready, gang? Great! You ready? Let's get into... Let's get down on the mat for some elbow quoits. I hope you're wearing your gym clothes. And a one, and a two, and a... Why? The human body was not made to move.
You guess there's no sports you like then?
I like cricket. I like that no one touches each other. Every player has a respectful zone, a bubble of personal space.
In football and rugby, they're bashing into each other, grabbing each other, falling over on top of each other. I don't even like to shake people's hands. The kiss on the cheek when greeting is heart attack panic to me, but cricket, each man is out there with a huge bubble of personal space, and for the most part, no one messes with that bubble. That, my friend, is a gentleman's game. It recognizes that humanity is a team, though each of us is still ultimately alone. I mean, sure, after someone takes a wicket, they're sometimes all over each other, but it's also acceptable to say a simple, "How's that?" and nod and wink. They will understand. They know what it means, a warm but distant "How's that?" from across the field. It says everything they need to say without anyone's bubble being pierced, without any human contact or physical warmth of any kind. I don't like cricket, Roland.
I love it! So you should play that.
No, watching. Watching, Roland. Not playing. I'm strictly a cricket voyeur. Rear window cricket. That's how I enjoy my young sporty guys watching from afar and slightly inebriated, so my inhibitions are down. And to play, I'd need, what, 21 other guys to be willing to play with me? A guy who's old and unfit and who knows nothing about cricket? No. Cricket also allows a good paunch. It's my kind of sport.
You'd stand in the crease, and you have a lot of fat creases and age creases. It'd suit you.
Funny thing about age, I mean, I'm seeing among acquaintances of mine, women especially, they're having these midlife crises. They're hitting their mid-30s and suddenly leaving their husbands, splitting custody of their kids. I mean, maybe their relationship was bad or stale, I don't know. But everything has ruts. Every life path you choose has ruts, and you just have to see them out. Maybe they chose a wife and mother role because it was expected of them, and for a short time fulfilling that expectation made them feel good, but it was not what they really wanted. Or maybe it was just the terror. They see that youth is gone. There may be one or two years left to try and act 21 again. Of course, we are usually the last to notice our own fading. If they themselves can tell, it's probably already gone. And why are they doing this? It's because they've been taught to value beauty above all else.
Patriarchy, man. Fuck the patriarchy. I'm gonna hit the patriarchy like I hit this bong.
Yeah, Roland, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna hit the patriarchy like I hit me last three wives.
Okay, the bong part, but not that part, Roland. We're in this weird position. We should be dead around 30, right? If we were like primitive animals in the wild. And yet we continue beyond 30. We continue so far beyond 30 that, barring disaster, we spend most of our lives beyond 30. Our bodies weren't made to be sexually attractive and viable for that long. Sure, for a few more years we can reproduce. Men's sperm is going rotten by 21. Women have a few eggs left to use up before they're all gone. But after 30, no one wants to touch us, and that's natural. Sexual desire is tied to indicators of youth and health, beauty, fitness, all that. But we march on for 50 more years. We're living far longer than we should be, and evolution hasn't yet learned to switch off that sex urge when it's no longer a use to us, when it becomes, in fact, a detriment. So we still have Dr. Sex whispering in our ears for the rest of our lives, "Go on, go on, do it, go on, look at that sexy young thing, go on." But we are looking at that sexy young thing from a ruination. We're trapped within melted, rattled husks, and we'll never get our own sexy youth back again, ever. We're stuck peering through the window of sexuality. It's grim, and people spend too long stewing in their own juices, and they go funny. But anyway, the reasonable person, all they can do is retreat. Become a monk. Get a hobby. We all get ugly. Any of us who live long enough get ugly and spend most of our lives ugly, and that's just natural. It's life. It's not abnormal. So why value beauty? These women have to get hobbies. They have to learn to value things about themselves instead of beauty, because none of us can hold on to that beauty. I mean, men too, obviously, because men also have these midlife crises, but I feel in some way it hurts women more because they've been told their beauty is a be-all and end-all. Maybe these women are making these life changes for perfectly good reasons. But if it's due to the fear...
Pity they're not here to have you mansplain it to them. Love yourselves for other reasons, because you will be ugly. The DM says so.
Yeah, pity. But I would have to associate with actual living, breathing women in person to be able to mansplain anything. Oh, I dream of even having the option of making the social faux pas of mansplaining. We all have to embrace our ugliness, though. It's the only way we'll be happy.
But some lucky bastards get wabi-sabi.
Some lucky bastards. In old novels, women always get more and more beautiful as they age.
like Helen Mirren. People always hold Helen Mirren up as this example of women who look better when they age. What they don't realize was that Helen Mirren was just incredibly hot when she was young. She was incredibly hot, and somehow she held on to some fragment of that throughout her life. Helen Mirren is a miracle and should not be used as an example by normal mortals. She was Russian, too, on her dad's side. Last name was Mironov or something.
Oh, that explains the hotness.
Yep, explains the hotness.
Russians.
The current generation? I mean, the one after us.
The really nice one with all the tolerant people who embrace and celebrate difference and, as a result, have a much better time in high school than we did.
Yeah, those people. They're always trying to fight for the downtrodden, to stop prejudice and discrimination, battle against negative body image. I'm interested to see what will happen when they all hit 30. Suddenly they'll be my voice. They'll be fighting, hey, old people are people too. Talk to an old person. Just because they're not sexy doesn't mean they don't count. Youth isn't everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll have a whole awareness campaign. And on the poster will be a cute 22-year-old smiling to themselves. They look into the distance and think about talking to an old person, because there's always a hot 22-year-old in the ads, whatever they're talking about. Whatever body image discrimination they're fighting against, there's always a hot 22-year-old once marketing gets their hands on it. Anyway, I can't wait until they fight for my rights, because right now over 30s are just melting in lonely silence and no one cares.
We're like plus-size models. We want a voice.
Well, it's true at least that most of us are plus-sized. We're not really model material. But the actual term would have to be something like thinning hair plus size over 30s models with man boobs and paunches and anorexic ribs showing at the same time with swinging muscles on the undersides of their upper arms whenever they lift their arms to a point. No, wait, even I don't want to see that.
Models who are not yet old enough to be really wrinkly yet look off-puttingly pale and faded and too much scalp shows through on their head while not enough back and nostrils show through beneath the rampant hair that appeared from nowhere overnight.
It's just not wabi-sabi, is it? Most aging. Wabi-sabi folks are the supermodels of the older people's world. And let's face it, they're probably hot like Helen Mirren when they were young too. Lucky bastards.
You were born who you is. If you looked any different, yous wouldn't be yous.
True, but I know handsome guys who are so calm, open, good-hearted. They expect the best from people because people always show them their best sides, because people always smile at them and look at them with bright eyes and go out of their way to help and impress. A beautiful person brightens your day. Pretty people expect the best from humanity because they see the best from humanity. So maybe I would actually be a better person if I was pretty. I might not be a cynic and a whiner. I might be an optimist, treating others well like they treat me. I wouldn't see judgment in people's eyes. People wouldn't ignore me or look at me with disgust or serve me last. I would, instead, feel I was a part of the human crowd. Why didn't a different sperm make it to the egg? A handsomer sperm?
I don't know if beautiful women always see the best from humanity.
Well, no. That's because everyone wants to take and use beautiful women's beauty regardless of how the beautiful women feel. They have to always be on guard and protect themselves from, well, people like me. Pretty men get a pretty good deal, though. Of course, women often say that the handsomeness in a guy doesn't matter. Women often say, I think personality is more attractive than looks. I think this is a sign of patriarchal oppression, and I find it sad. You just know an ugly guy was getting on her case. I'm just imagining a bald old gross guy, me basically, sitting down next to a pretty young woman and saying, hey baby, hey don't blush baby. Hey, if you're really smart, you'd see that personality is the most important. You don't own one of these young hot guys your own age that every cell of your being is crying out for. No, that'd be wrong and shallow. You want me. Me. Because I'm old enough to have personality and I'm wise enough to tell you how things work. Things besides looks, that's what an empathic woman such as yourself should be into. And all women are empathic, right? So it makes them different to men. So should use your empathy to take pity on me and my old grossness, etc., etc., and so on. Times that by the world's population of old gross guys for the last couple of millennia, and that's what women have been hearing. And when they settle for something they don't want, they make the excuse using the code word, I prefer personality.
And in that word, personality, is a vast pit full of 1,000 shattered dreams and desires.
No, don't enjoy what you actually want and feel is right. My sperm are all old and corrupted, but I got personality.
If a woman says something like, people who think that physical attractiveness is more important than personality don't know what is truly important, then I want to scream at them. Ugly men told you that, and I am so sorry.
There may actually be evolutionary reasons for men choosing physical health, youth, and hotness above all else when it comes to sowing oats as much as possible for genetic, like, babies. And women as bearers of the children being more selective about a wider range of factors good for her and the baby's future, like choosing a guy who won't run off and sow his wild oats everywhere the second she gets a baby bump in preparation for a baby bonus. Although I suppose patriarchy truly rewards men for, like, mediocrity and that, and just not being an asshole. That's quite an achievement.
Lie back and think of England, honey. You've been programmed to think you're enjoying this because of my gross old man personality. You are a good woman.
Relationship sounds pretty bad. Probably in divorce. Probably in her mid-30s when she wises up.
It will, and until women stop settling while claiming they're doing it for personality and start going after what they actually want, which are hotties, we will continue this way. Fuck the patriarchy.
Fuck the patriarchy. Well, I like chicks, though. I don't actually want to fuck the patriarchy. I mean, maybe I'd give it a hand job if I, like, made me a CEO or something.
This is Patricia Quinn, and I hate role-playing because I was nice, and I asked for nothing, and those bastards gave me nothing in abundance.
My attitude on prostitution has changed a lot over the years. I'm the kind of man who can be swayed by a good argument.
So, a weak man, then.
Yes, a weak man. For a while, I believed that visiting a prostitute was a form of abuse. It was a violence. I heard a good argument, and it convinced me. Then, at Adelaide Sexpo, I spoke to some sex workers, and they were convinced it was just a job, and it was fun and rewarding if handled with the right attitude. Other sex workers have written articles claiming the same, so now I don't know what to think. Of course, there's a huge dark side, as there is with any vice and any grey area activity. There is a human slavery element to prostitution, with people trafficked and forced into it against their will. Some do it because they come from poverty-stricken societies in which certain types of people are undervalued. And when rich Westerners visit, those Westerners only want to take advantage of the locals, and so a system for sex tourism develops like some colonial cancer, in which one party has all the power and the other, very little. Some people turn to prostitution out of desperation when, if we were a better and more caring society, we might have provided a safety net to catch them before that happened. But some just say, there's a need, and we provide a service, and as long as the pay is fair and the rules are followed and everyone is safe and healthy, we're happy. Tough to ensure safety and fairness when it is an area legislators run from. Anyway, there exists a chance, right, that some aspects of sex work are not evil?
I think I see where you're going with this. Please, continue to self-justify your deplorable intentions.
I saw a thing online for not sure if it's true. One of those Nordic countries has a sex worker allowance for disabled people. Like, this country assumes that sexual expression is a vital and healthy part of adult life, and so no one should be abandoned, or it will do them damage. These disabled folks get an allowance so that once a month, a sex worker drops around, and it's therapeutic.
Once a month? Those disabled cunts are already getting more sex than most people are in long-term relationships. Probably get anal and gobbies if they want them too, and licky-lickies if they're lady disabled.
Yes, exactly. So I was thinking, people who are over 30, no one wants to touch them or have anything to do with them sexually, right? They are sexually disabled. They should be allowed therapeutic visits from prostitutes. I mean, the prostitutes wouldn't be keen either, but it's their job. They're used to it and they know what they're in for. It's like cleaning a toilet, as long as the pay is good.
Pay for cleaning toilets isn't actually that good. Should be, because it's an awful job, but usually the underprivileged have to do it, and migrants and that. You know, the disadvantaged and disempowered. They clean toilets for diddly squat.
Don't cramp my vibe, Roland. So every over 30 should be allowed. It should not be frowned on.
We should get an allowance.
It should go on Medicare, a monthly, well, fortnightly in Australia. Australia is doing very well. It's a lucky country. It should come with the same regularity as Centrelink payments.
And prostitution could be a part of work for the doll.
No, no prostituting is work for the doll, Roland. It should be expensive for most, but subsidized for the poor, like going to the doctor is. Prostitute comes round, checks everything is safe, whacks on the protection, has a go, Bob's your uncle. It would help all the poor, sexually disabled over 30s who no one wants to touch because they're too old and mousy looking and saggy and balding. I mean, then we wouldn't be stewing in our own juices, right? Nothing worse than someone who's stewing alone in their sexual juices for years. People go funny that way and they're just... You can sense it on them, even when you serve them in a shop. It's creepy, it's uncomfortable. This whole aura. And eventually people end up embarrassing themselves sexually somehow, or doing something awful, or just plain killing themselves out of loneliness. But no, the uglies can bump uglies too. Everyone can be happy and sexually relieved, feel at peace with their sexuality. The world would be a better place.
And over 30s could get jobs as the government-subsidized sex workers, and there's another way of them getting to have more sex too.
Yes, they could have sex every day as government-subsidized prostitutes. It'd be great.
But wait, you said no one wants to have sex with over 30s, so it'd just be offers from over 30s prostitutes.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's there, and it's government-subsidized, and they're all positive about it, and they call you Starfleet Captain DM during the act if you ask them, you'd be all like, might as well. And at least you'd be clearing out the taps. Your day afterwards would have equilibrium. Action would still be had by all involved.
True.
And if you're a couple, well, great. Bring in a government-subsidized pro. Spice things up. Learn about yourselves and each other. Everyone has a smile on their face. Everyone is getting action. That sexuality demon keeps whispering in your ear for the rest of your life after you're 30, when sex is largely redundant because no one wants you. And yet it's there, whispering, whispering, all day, every day, incessantly. But you could finally quiet it. Just imagine everyone you see over 30 at least would definitely have gotten some action in the last month if they wanted it. How lovely. And I mean, prostitutes should definitely be paid like doctors, right? They have to deal with medical waste. They have to stick fingers up bums like doctors do, and that takes training and sensitivity. It's at least a cert for. Don't want to be sued for malpractice. They have to be careful to wear the right kind of protective gear during procedures, and they risk infection. Pay them like doctors. Subsidize them. Make it so I personally have access to all the prostitutes. Train them up. Make it a fulfilling career, no pun intended. You don't hear about people trafficking doctors, sending poor young people to other countries to earn money to live in multi-million dollar homes and make more per year than the traffickers. No. It would potentially complicate that entire dark side of prostitution. Golden.
Great. But this is all just you working up the courage to visit a prostitute and not feel bad about it, isn't it? All that loneliness and frustration brewing inside you. That desperate, constant need for vag and titties. The warm, caring touch of another, sympathetic and non-judgmental eye contact.
Yeah, I still wouldn't do it. I'd be too embarrassed. Too worried the prostitute would judge me or laugh at me behind my back. You want me to dress up as an officially licensed DC superheroine? She'd ask, snickering. It'd be a dead loss. It'd be like when you have to show your cock or anus to the cock or anus doctor.
I'd happily show them both to the doctor if I knew the doctor was going to stimulate them. It's because the doctor has scalpels and syringes that I get scared. And doctors, they're so naggy. All the veins in both arms are collapsed, Roland. You have to stop using drugs if you want to live, Roland. That ulcer is septic, Roland. We're going to have to amputate your gangrenous foot, Roland. It's like, don't shame me, medical profession. I'm sensitive enough about me body image as it is.
I think I just have to face that it is all behind me, sexuality. I have supped from the cup just a little, and that's it. The voice will whisper, but all I will have are memories. Never again. For 50 years, assuming I live that long, I still have genitals, but they don't really mean anything anymore, except they provide the testosterone that causes my hair to fall off my scalp and grow on my back and shoulders, which increases my risk of early death. It's like if you quit smoking but still get lung cancer 10 years later. I was a man for a brief period in my youth, and though I gave up that high-risk activity and all its associated joys, I will be paying the price for the rest of my life.
Score on the poster, this hiker guy. Bet he blazed his own trail through life. Don't you wish you blazed your own trail?
Yeah, of course I do. Or tamed a desert island or something. Found the North Pole. But what trails are left for anyone to blaze alone? At best, these days I could become a YouTube commentator, mirroring pieces of corporate pop culture by doing excitable unboxing videos, movie reviews, or gaming vids. But no, those avenues are still only open to the affluent and the young and pretty. No one watches something like that if the host is not appealing and the games and products are not new and exciting. The host is the unpaid model for the gaming company, the toy company, the movie company. And models, they have to hold all our ideals in their faces. I suppose people can still go into the wilderness and follow along, quietly, without telling anyone or making a big deal out of it, the trails men blazed hundreds of years before. This guy, he looked like he earned respect. If he has kids, they like him. If he has a wife, she's proud of him. And off doing her own thing while he's hiking and modeling clothes. They're relaxed around each other, each their own people, not jealous. He probably has grandkids he likes, a house. He runs a company somewhere, or a hardware store, or... Do you think I could ever be wabi-sabi Roland when I'm older?
Well, wabi-sabi, it's a cup made more beautiful because it has a chip. A bowl more lovely because it's been repaired. An old face with laugh lines full of character.
I won't have laugh lines.
Neither will any of your listeners, mate. Wabi-sabi is imperfect, impermanent, and incomplete, and more beautiful for being so. But imperfect implies once or near perfect, right? It holds that word perfect there inside itself. Like one of my girlfriends holds a tiny Roland inside her tummy before she visits the backyard abortionist. So wabi-sabi is like something is near perfect, but has a minor flaw. It looks permanent, but has a scratch or some peeling paint. So it seems even more brave and steadfast as a result. It looks complete, but that one tiny missing bit. And because of that, you see just how much it has achieved by striving for the impossible. But it has to be close to perfect. Close to perfect, but with one flaw. But with this old guy, his face full of character that reveals a life well lived and blows taken to achieve that life. We like him more because he took some hits but got there in the end. He will die, yes, like all of us. But he will die happy, having lived the struggle. You're so far from perfect, DM, that if anyone was to add another flaw, you just become uglier, less pure, less good, more wretched. You're not even close to being decent or average on any level. Physical, emotional, spiritual, auditory, televisual. Wabi-sabi needs to be near perfect with just a little ding. Like me V8 Holden. It needs to be poignant. Basically, a person needs to have been amazingly wonderful anyway before they just got damaged a little bit. He is beautiful, and everyone loves him, and then, oh, something mildly bad happened, and it only made him more beautiful. Wow, we never truly appreciated before, but that imperfection highlights the rest of his beauty in a way that his previous pure beauty didn't. And, oh man, but you were never even half okay to start with. You're like most people. So nah, DM, I don't think you could ever be wabi-sabi.
friendship open hour.